Imam Khomeini is also mentioning the important parts. He says that this is the month where you can practice and you need to have a judgment and you need to act according to the judgments of the Sharia. Your works that you're intending to do, your words that you're intending to speak, and the subject you intend to listen to. So you need to observe the Sharia in all these things. Therefore, the actions that I'm about to perform, if I can control myself in the month of Ramadan, then obviously I need to do that in the rest of the year as well, the rest of the months in the year. It is the Ramadan which is the golden time to practice according to Sharia. So before I intend to do something or the work which I want to do, it is better to look at the Sharia. It is better to look at the Quran, the teachings of Islam, whether is it according to them or not. And when I'm about to speak or say something, I must think. And it is the sign of the wise people that they think before speaking. And unfortunately, we know that people generally, they speak and later they think what they have said. But the wisdom says that you need to think before you speak. And on the other hand, you need to think about what you need to listen. Therefore, we need to follow Islam in this month in its true way, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
In the limelight. An international aid group has recently warned that Afghanistan is on the brink of complete collapse as the Biden administration and European governments refuse to release the war-torn nation's central bank reserves, depriving the economy of critical funds as millions face poverty and starvation. Stay with us for an article in this regard written by Jake Johnson, journalist. This article is published under the heading Biden won't release Afghanistan's central bank assets, even in the face of collapse. Here's the story. An international aid group has recently warned that Afghanistan is on the brink of complete collapse as the Biden administration and European governments refuse to release the war-torn nation's central bank reserves, depriving the economy of critical funds as millions face poverty and starvation. In a statement ahead of an international donor conference for Afghanistan, the International Rescue Committee, IRC, said the country is now the world's largest ever humanitarian appeal, requiring a staggering $4.47 billion in humanitarian aid, quadruple the needs at the start of 2021, and more than is required for either Syria or Yemen. Since the Taliban retook power last August, falling to decades of U.S.-led warfare, IRC noted, the speed of Afghanistan's economic collapse has been unprecedented. Following the withdrawal of American troops, the Biden administration froze billions of dollars in Afghan central bank assets held in the U.S. despite warnings that the move would push the country closer to full-scale economic ruin. Last month, U.S. President Joe Biden issued an executive order aiming to permanently seize Afghanistan's assets and split them between the families of 9/11 victims and an ill-defined trust fund for Afghans. Blocked from accessing its own reserves, Kabul has struggled to afford even the import taxes on containers of badly needed food. Moreover, the Biden administration has left in place crippling economic sanctions that could kill more civilians than 20 years of war, according to one analyst. European governments and international institutions also took punitive steps following the Taliban's return to power, suspending financing for projects in Afghanistan and leaving humanitarian groups on the ground without the resources needed to help the growing number of sick and malnourished Afghans. IRC said recently, Afghans that could support themselves and their families 6 months ago are now entirely dependent on aid. With each week that goes by, more Afghans are forced to resort to the unimaginable to survive. Since August, the number of Afghans resorting to negative coping capacities has risen sixfold, such as selling young daughters into marriage, pulling children out of school to work, selling organs, skipping meals, or taking on high levels of debt. The New York Times reported recently that Afghans desperate for cash to feed their families are turning to back-breaking work in the notoriously dangerous mines of northern Afghanistan. Some toiling in the mines are as young as 10 years old, according to the newspaper. UNICEF recently warned that more than a million Afghan children will need treatment for severe acute malnutrition this year, and 13 million kids in total will need humanitarian assistance. David Miliband, IRC president and CEO, said recently that the actions of the international community have pushed Afghanistan toward total collapse. Miliband said if the Afghan economy is not resuscitated, the severity of the current humanitarian crisis will only deepen, with dire consequences for life and limb of ordinary Afghans. Further economic distress will only mean greater displacement, greater insecurity, and greater misery. Miliband urged countries and humanitarian groups participating in donor conference to ramp up aid to Afghanistan, but stressed that such charity work only addresses the symptoms rather than the drivers of a failing economy. Miliband argues Afghanistan urgently requires a roadmap of international engagement to address the economic crisis, including benchmarks for the release of frozen Afghan assets to the central bank, adding, in the immediate term, this will require donors and financial institutions to help rebuild the capacity of the central bank to operate independently, adhere to international banking standards, and manage the Afghan economy. The urgent work to stave off famine and preventable deaths in the coming weeks and months should not crowd out the important work to hold the trajectory of this crisis and stabilize the economy, he continued, adding, until these measures are taken, Afghan civilians will continue to pay for the transgressions of others with their own lives and suffering. Welton Gerlifel, a Germany-based humanitarian nonprofit, voiced similar fears, saying, pointed out that 95% of the Afghan population no longer has adequate nutrition. Thomas Tenbauer, the director of this nonprofit, German-based humanitarian group, said, Afghanistan is in free fall. The sanctions are crushing the economy and preventing money from entering the country. Agricultural production will continue to plummet because farmers cannot purchase seeds or fertilizer due to drastic price hikes. He added, "We are risking the future of an entire generation that now lacks both adequate nutrition and a proper education."
questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Dear listeners, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. You are listening to IRIB English Radio, and you are listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. In this program, we discuss problems, questions, and issues parents have regarding the Islamic upbringing of their offspring. The answers are based upon the noble Quran and the narrations of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam and his holy progeny. We have in this studio our guest speaker, Sister Radhia Batul Najafi. Salamun alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
In our previous episode, we talked about encouragement, the important role of encouragement in our teenagers' upbringing.
Exactly.
So in this episode, we will talk about the punishment, how the punishment should be and what kind of role the punishment plays in our teenagers' upbringing. Because as we said, the Holy Quran also says our Anbiya and the Prophets, they have come with both things, you know, encouragement and warnings also. So we should also follow the same rulings of upbringing in our teenagers, especially.
When you say about punishment, I always remember the fine which usually traffic police takes from us. That is very obvious in our life in that sense that we know the wisdom behind punishment. Because many youth, they will ask us again that why punishment? Yeah, punishment is not good. Everyone takes it in a very negative way. But even we discussed before too in our episode that our intention should be very, very pure about punishment. Like we should punish our children because we want to guide them, bring them back to the right path. We as a human being get more affected and we can keep on track more and we can respect the rules more by the fear of that fine and punishment, not just by reward. Have you seen any traffic police who gives some reward if you are respecting the traffic rules? In normal routine, no. Yeah, if you are always, for example, wearing seatbelt, no one gives you the reward. But once if you don't wear it, they will take some fine.
Yeah.
So here everyone understand. But when teenagers, they ask us why you are punishing, why, what is the reason? You know, that is very important. Like if they know the reason and the wisdom behind it, then they would love it. And they would not hate their parents because of punishment. They would say, oh, you are always punishing us. You know, you always deprive us from our screen time or whatever. So this is really, really important too.
But this is the last element to use, you know, in our upbringing.
Beautiful, yeah.
As Imam Ali alayhi salam also says, "Man lam yuslihu husnul mudarat, yuslihu husnul mukafat." If someone does not get cured by good behavior, he gets well using the mukafat, means the punishment.
Beautiful.
He needs
beautiful.
The punishment. Because if we have used the encouragement on time according to the act, But still, if it is not, you know, useful, then there is no any other situation, no any other element than punishment.
Exactly, the example of like you are just feeding so many vitamins to your, you know, teenager, for example, you know, boosting his health situation, giving. But still something is bothering inside. So you have to take him to the surgeon and, you know, you have to use the knife sometimes, you know. So that kind of bitterness comes in life.
Yeah, dear listeners, stay tuned. Inshallah, after a short break, we will come back again.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Dear listeners, welcome back. So we were talking about the punishment. Let me tell my dear listeners that punishment does not mean the physical punishment. As Islam always says, emphasize that we should not use physical and we are not allowed to punish physically. No matter our children are, you know, they are our children or teenagers or they are our students, Islam never allows us to punish physically.
Yeah, almost never. Almost never. Definitely.
Very few moments we can use slightly physical punishment. Exactly. That is exception. So here punishment means there are different kind of punishment. For example, nowadays they are using internet or social media. We do not allow them to use for a certain time as a punishment.
Or neglecting them.
Neglecting them.
Not watching to them, you know, like being a bit frowny towards them. You know, that is a big way of negligence.
Yeah, if you have a good relationship with your teenagers and if you don't talk or, for example, get frowny to him for some couple of hours, maybe it's very hard for him.
Cut the relationship for few hours.
Again, this punishment, as we will talk, inshallah, it depends on the situation, on the qualities of your teenager. You know, if he is or she is very sensitive, you can use very slight punishments, you know.
Yes, definitely. And this is very important.
Yeah, this is very important.
I remember once, you know, I was reading in book that if your child is, for example, 7 years old, so you can punish him or her for 7 minutes. You know, because I was reading, I said, oh, you know, he has done some mistake. I will punish him. So I said, if you don't listen to mama, so I will put you in the storeroom for 7 minutes or 3 minutes. The moment I said the child, you know, that was the scene to see, you know, like first time in his life, he was listening to this kind of statement. He said, no, mama, you know, you can't think about it. And that statement was enough. You know, every child is different. So one child get change, you know, that the revolution comes very easily because the heart is very, you know, tender and very soft. And some children are extremely naughty, and teenagers. So they're very stubborn. So you have to take that step for them. So every teenager is definitely different from others.
Yeah, and in punishment also, we should be moderate. And as I said, you know, there shouldn't be any physical punishment and it should not get prolonged, you know.
Exactly.
It should be for a certain short time or period. As Imam Kadhim alayhi salam says, لَا تَضْرِبْهُ وَحْجُرْهُ وَلَا تُطِلْ.
Beautiful.
Yeah, don't beat him or her. وَحْجُرْهُ, leave him alone. Means cut your relations with him or with her for a certain time, for a short period of time, and wala tutil, do not prolong it. maybe for a few or a couple of hours or a few days maybe.
Yeah, but maximum maybe, you know, like about two believers' hadith says maximum is 3 days, not three more days, than that. Yeah. So, but our but between parents and I think child, it should be not in hours, you know, it shouldn't be more than some hours. So I think this is bothering them a lot. If you neglect them, like the way Allah says on the day of judgment, you know, Allah is not just paying attention to some of, you know,
that
some
will
people
be
there.
The biggest punishment
exactly.
for some
La
of the people.
يكلمهم الله. You know, that, you know, not paying attention is the biggest punishment. So here also, when your relationship is very good with your children, if you just neglect them, they will get the indicator and the message, and that is punishment, you know. And we shouldn't go for more, inshallah, you know. Our environment of house should be based on so much respect and love. Then this little tiny ways of punishment will work very easily.
Dear listeners, let's take a short break. We will come back after the break.
يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات
إمام علي عليه السلام said excessive blame causes the fire of obstinacy to flame.
يا مقضي الخيرات
Dear listeners, welcome back. So if he does or she does a small mistake or she does not listen to us for a, you know, small thing, we should not punish them so heavily or big punishment.
The same way we said about encouragement.
Encouragement,
that, you know,
yeah.
if the achievement is so high, so encouragement and the gift should be high. Same here. If the teenager commit any kind of, you know, mistake, the mistake is so high. For example, he have stolen something. For example, that is something out of our imagination.
Or she has committed a sin.
Sin or something really disrespectful. So, and with knowing, you know, and we have to analyze definitely everything. And if we reach to that conclusion that this action has done by intention, then the punishment should be according to the mistake.
Definitely. And we always should keep in our mind that we should never disrespect them.
Oh, that is not allowed in Islam at all.
This is a haram act. If we disrespect or betray them, this is itself a haram, a sin. Islam always respects. Allah says,
Inna
human
karamna
being,
bani Adam.
Allah has respected us, and we should respect each other, and we should respect our children, our teenagers. Especially, they are very sensitive. And unfortunately, sometimes we lose our temperament and we become very disrespectful, which can lead us for so many dangerous things.
Yeah.
We should be very cautious.
And you know, whenever we are punishing them, or maybe not giving attention to them, our intention shouldn't be to take revenge. You know, that is very important. Our intention should to guide them, to bring them more nearer to us. So by neglecting them or by just punishing them, if we are punishing them with insulting way, then definitely they will run away from us. And our intention is not to lose them, to get them back. So for getting them back, this punishment should be full of love and full of respect. So they should see the love inside the punishment.
Dear listeners, thank you so much for being with us. I hope you enjoyed. If you have any question, comments, or any suggestion, you can write us at englishradio@irib.ir, and you can follow us on our social media, Call of Islam Radio, and you can visit our website, parstoday.com. Until next episode, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space, returned upon rest.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,865 kilohertz every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iransat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Start.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station.
I am a Muslim. Allah my Lord. His word Quran. Muhammad Prophet. Praise be upon. I am Muslim for all of time.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله Dear listeners, sisters and brothers from all around the world, well, this is Youth Station. We're here once more from IRB English Radio, and this is Asma, you're hearing me. It's quite a pleasure to be here with you again. Today we're going a bunch of interesting stuff to discuss about, and here with me I have Brother Abdullah. Assalamu alaikum, brother. Welcome to
Wa
the station.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure being here again.
It's such a pleasure to meet you here again. There is an everlasting fight between emotion and what is called logic. Which one you are? A logical person or an emotional?
It's a very tough question. Obviously, it depends on the situation you're in.
On the situation, of course.
So sometimes...
But mostly...
But I would like to think that I more logical than emotional. If you're a young person and you want to make a judgment, make sure you keep your emotions away as far as possible. Because they,
which is impossible, of course.
It's not impossible. It's very possible. It's very possible. It just requires a bit of practice. If it was impossible, then I can say to Allah, oh Allah, it's not my fault.
Thinking is prior to emotion.
Of course. See, even you know how the hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, "Idha hamamta bi amrin fatadabbara aqibata."
Yes.
If you want to do an action, think of the consequences. فَإِنْ كَانَ خَيْرًا فَأَقْبِلْ.
But you know, in modern days, it's very difficult, especially for youth, to go for thinking before going for emotions.
Uh-huh. Okay. That's the point.
Mm-hmm.
We say, as in terms of the plain state we've been giving the brain to think with. But why do we see a lot of young people moving towards emotional thinking rather than logical thinking? Because we are subjected right now, especially the youth, to a heavy machinery of the West, of especially the media, to make us think emotionally, not logically.
Oh, so you mean there's a propaganda?
Not just propaganda. There's army at work. Shaitan, from the beginning, he made that announcement. He promised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَأَقْعُدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. In Arabic means what? That you're no longer thinking logically. You're thinking what? Emotionally. Why everyone wants to get an iPhone?
Well, maybe because that has some good qualities.
Now, there are so many phones that are half of the price and better as in spec-wise, twice as high as the iPhone. A branding.
It's just...
Nice branding system. We're buying by brands. We're not buying by logic. Okay, because it's got an Apple logo, I'm paying an extra $1,000 for it. Otherwise, as if I want to think it logically...
So you think that's the whole story and we're being fair now? I mean, you say it's just because of branding.
No, no, no. I'm saying to you, why are people and the youth thinking more emotional than logical? I'm saying there's a machine in the background working hard enough to make sure that happens. It triggers emotion. I just give you one example. Branding.
Yes, that was just an example.
Branding is one example where people buy clothes, buy food, buy things based on when they see on ads. What you see on ads is emotional buying, not logical buying.
Let's go for a little break and then we'll be back. Thank you for listening to us and giving your ears and attention.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
Well, I would agree with the first statement you made that we are thinking emotionally. That is, to put it in a better way, I think. I would go with that.
Yeah, so I'm saying...
Yes, the branding is working, but also we see that the quality is good, so I go for it.
No, that's what I'm saying to you. Not always the quality is good. I mean, especially if you want to be like logical about it, if you want to look at the statistics when it comes to the brands that we buy.
Yes.
So sometimes... The product has quality. I don't say they don't have quality.
Yes, I know. It was just an example,
others,
but we are generalizing
for example,
that.
Okay. And we're saying, for example, for the youth as well. Now, here's the thing. A lot of people don't have money to buy iPhones.
Yes,
what they do
as well.
Is they would go borrow money, put themselves
no,
in debt.
That's too much.
To buy an iPhone. So in front of people, they say, oh, I got an iPhone. Now, is that a logical thinking
no,
or is that
no,
emotional thinking?
No, it's not logical and it's not, I don't know. If you it's look not even emotional.
Okay, so if you look at yourself, and if I look at myself, we make so much of these decisions on a daily basis.
Yes, of
that
course.
Are not logical. Right, yes. Why? Because even, let's say, even, I mean, if we're using the branding as one aspect of this brainwashing, if we use that logically, we see I myself a lot of times buy something because I saw the ad says, well, it's good. I don't know if it's good. I've never done the search. I just saw the ad, you know, I used like this.
So most of our buying happens based on love at first sight.
Yeah, so that's exactly what I'm saying. Is the point is that we're thinking emotional. So there's a lot of things. So this is just one aspect. Like I said, branding is one aspect. There are a lot of other aspects that the media is trying to push subconsciously into my and your head through all the media platforms, social media platforms, with the youth. Are no longer in control of their own thinking. Someone else is doing the thinking for them.
Yes, exactly.
You know, I mean, especially now we have the Ukraine and Russia war, right? I've seen this, like now this is in the media, where they take a picture of a little girl. I don't know if you've seen this.
Yeah.
That was standing in front of a soldier, and she's defying, being in a defiant state. And now this picture went viral. Millions of people have seen this, commented on it. And this picture was taken a few years back in Palestine.
Oh, God.
Where she's...
Media.
For this little girl, she was opposing as an Israeli soldier.
Oh,
all they did is they changed the flag into a Russian flag on the soldier and they put a flag on the girl as a Ukraine.
Yeah, that's what media does sometimes.
So exactly. So what's happening to us now is that we, someone else is doing the thinking for us.
Yes.
So as young people, as youth, we really need to go back to thinking. So as young people, we really need to hit the brakes when it comes to our emotions. Mm-hmm. Or thinking, because our emotions, we need emotions in our life. We need to have empathy. We need to have so many things.
Sometimes in order to follow our way, we need the emotion.
No, emotions are needed, but not for thinking. That's what I'm saying. Emotions are needed, but not for thinking. So even for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, when he talks about a wife and a husband relationship, he says, "Ja'ala baynakum mawaddatan wa rahma." He put mercy and compassion. Mercy and compassion are two emotional states.
Yes.
You need them in order to coexist with your spouse. Yeah. But not in thinking, you know.
At first place, you have to use your brain.
I need to be compassionate when my wife makes a mistake. I forgive her. When the husband makes a mistake, she forgives him, right?
Yes,
so
that's
this, so emotions are required in a person's life. Otherwise, he ends up being a rock. But do we need emotions in thinking? Should we be emotional thinkers? That's a big no. That's a red zone.
So this is the Youth Station. We're discussing logic and emotion, which is an everlasting fight. We're just giving you some highlights and some points to note. Well, we talked about emotion. We said that it is good to continue our life. We need that emotion, which is a very strong part of our life. Also, we should consider the very fact that even in Islamic recommendations, we've been asked to go for our thinking at first, and then we could listen to our heart. So at first, the very important thing we have to do throughout our life is to be thinking. At the very first place, you have to give a perfect thinking for every single thing, and then you can do whatever you want with your heart. As a youth, I would say emotions are very strong. The world has been planned in a way nowadays, somebody else is thinking for us and giving those emotions, and we could say that those emotions are imposed on us. So now, is there any way for me as a young person to learn how to be more thoughtful than emotional? To learn how to, at first sight, go with thinking, not with emotion. Is there any suggestions you could give us?
It's a true statement that we are strongly, according to statistics or the people in this field, they say 80% of our decision-making is based on emotional triggers. It's not based on logical triggers. So we make that mistake. So we are, and generally speaking, we are emotional creatures.
Exactly.
No. But does that mean we rely on thinking emotionally, or should we try to flip the page?
Our character in a way that we go for thinking more than emotion, you know, to control it, to control the balance between them.
So first thing is education is absolutely vital. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he says, seek knowledge from the cradle to the grave, min al-mahdi ila al-lahad, right? He's highlighting that aspect that without knowledge, you'll be just like a ball of emotions walking. And every decision that you'll make a mistake, and you will suffer the consequences of it. So knowledge is the foundation of everything. Now, if I'm a logical person, it means I have information, right?
Yes.
If I have no information, I'm no longer alim, or at least a person with logic. I'm an ignorant.
Yes,
I'm
exactly.
a jahil. So the Ahl al-Bayt alayhi salam, the Quran, always emphasizes on the fact that knowledge is the first thing. If you are not learned as a person, you'll be emotionally thinking, and such thinking will get you in the wrong places.
Yes, and it would be dangerous.
So, you know, the classical story that Allah gives us in the Quran is Bil'an bin Ba'ura. Allah says, "Ataynahu min ayatina fansalakha minha." Allah gave him the al-ism al-a'zam, right? Mm-hmm. The name where if he can supplicate it, he can flip the word around. And when Musa was a prophet, Bal'am said, well, it's supposed to be me. He got upset. And then he went to the Jabal, to the mountain, to pray on Musa, right?
Yes. See,
so he lost complete logic here. His information went down to zero.
Yes.
He started using his emotion. His emotion led him to that. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the example of him. مَثَلَهُ كَالْكَلْبِ Whether you run after the dog or you let him, the dog is always out of breath. The key here is to learn and be a logical person. Without that key, then you're not going to improve anywhere, right? And also with that, having said that, with knowledge, there are two types of knowledge. We have what we call Ilmul Abdan wa Ilmul Adyan. The sciences, you know, that you need in your daily life, maths, physics, chemistry, and the science of religion, which is obviously learning about your faith.
Yes.
Because sometimes we have a lot of doctors in the world right now who worship cows, who worship statues. Now, are these being logical people? So they've taken one aspect of things without looking at the other aspect of it. He thinks he's doing the right thing.
Yeah.
But if you actually get him to think, that why would you worship a cow when... But then you can bring him other arguments to prove that there are other things better than a cow.
Because usually what takes us away from truth and from logic, we could say it's justification, the ability to justify every single thing we say or do.
Answer the question, where do we start? We start with ilm. We start with knowledge.
Yes, we have
the
to
more
educate
you educate
ourselves.
Yourself... the more you're able to process information.
And of course,
make your own choice. Yeah, obviously, with ilm comes amal.
Yes.
Because
we have to practice that knowledge as well.
Obviously. That's what the Quran says, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا. You will never see a single verse in the Quran where Allah says, آمَنُوا by itself or عَمَلُوا by itself.
Yes, that's
They always
true.
Come hand in hand. So having the knowledge is one thing. Practicing it is another thing. So as we say, practice makes, you know, makes...
Perfect.
Perfect. I know sugar is bad for me.
But still, I would go for it.
As youth, we got so much bad habits that we indulge in. We know they're not good for us.
Yes, exactly.
Whether that's haram habits or whether they are habits where they're just bad for our health. We indulge in them. We just can't stop. Obviously, because what? Because we are not thinking it logically.
Dear listeners, this was all the time that we got to discuss the heart and the mind. Thank you for listening to us. Until another session, I bid you farewell. May Allah protect you all.
Limelight. Discrimination based on color, race, ethnicity, or religion is repugnant and must not only be condemned but also opposed practically, says Khadija Ali, journalist, in an article titled "Islamophobia, the Last Form of Racism in the World." Stay tuned for more. Discrimination based on color, race, ethnicity, or religion is repugnant and must not only be condemned, but also opposed practically. There are numerous United Nations General Assembly resolutions affirming concrete action against racial or other forms of discrimination. Yet, Islamophobia continues to rage and exacts a heavy toll of innocent Muslims in many parts of the world, including Canada. One particular UNGA resolution proposed that the International Day for the Elimination of Racial Discrimination be observed annually. It coincides with the day the white police force in South Africa opened fire and killed 69 blacks in Sharpeville in 1960. They were holding a peaceful demonstration against apartheid passed laws. South Africa was then under apartheid rule. It ended in 1992 and South Africa elected its first black president, Nelson Mandela, in 1994. In 1979, the General Assembly adopted a program of activities to be undertaken during the second half of the decade for action to combat racism and racial discrimination. The UNGA decided that a week of solidarity with the peoples struggling against racism and racial discrimination, beginning on March 21st, would be organized annually in all states. There is even an international convention on the elimination of racial discrimination, but racism in different forms exist. Its most virulent form is Islamophobia, targeting Muslims because of their faith and how they dress. While states have adopted various measures from perfunctory to serious against racial discrimination, Islamophobia continues to grow with deadly consequences. It exists at multiple levels, individual, institutional, and state. Some individuals may harbor prejudices, but it is the state that provides the framework, both through active policies and also lack of policies to confront this menace that leads to its spread. Let us consider the UNGA debate and subsequent adoption of a resolution against Islamophobia on March 15th. Proposed by Pakistan, the resolution was supported by 55 Muslim-majority countries of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, OIC, as well as many other countries in North Africa and Russia and China. It affirmed that March 15th will be marked annually as the UN-recognized International Day to Combat Islamophobia. March 15th marks the anniversary of the 2019 attacks on two mosques in Christchurch, New Zealand, in which 51 Muslim worshippers were murdered in cold blood as they gathered for Friday prayers. It has now emerged that the Christchurch terrorist, originally from Australia, was influenced in part by a pro-Israel Canadian media outlet, Rebel Media, whose owner, Ezra Levant, promoted Islamophobic troops. Levant tried to silence, unsuccessfully as it turned out, those that exposed his media outlet's influence on the mass murderer. The Christchurch terrorist was no doubt influenced by other racist outlets and individuals, as well as leading him to commit one of the most despicable crimes against innocent Muslims. The UNGA vote on Islamophobia, while welcomed by OIC Secretary General Hassan Brahim Taha, had its opponents as well. Taha said it would consolidate global awareness of the threat of hatred and fanaticism against Muslims. And who opposed the UN-recognized International Day to Combat Islamophobia? France, the European Union, and India spoke against the resolution, but did not oppose its adoption by consensus. Looking a little deeper, it is not surprising why these three entities spoke against the resolution. While Europe, especially France, Germany, and Britain, have led the racists and bigots have also enacted laws specifically targeting Muslims. India has also come out swinging against its 200 million Muslim citizens. The French representative at the UN, Nicolas Daud-Rivière, took refuge behind the excuse that France supported the protection of all religions and beliefs, but questioned the singling out of a specific religion. He described the resolution as unsatisfying and problematic. What did he fail to explain was, why has the French regime instituted laws that target Muslims only? Further, Paris took the lead in banning the hijab, the Muslim women's head covering. Women can uncover as much as they want, but Muslim women and girls cannot cover. This goes against French secularism, we are told. And what was the Monsieur Daud-Rivière problem with recognizing Islamophobia as a racist ideology? He said, the term Islamophobia has no agreed upon definition in international law, unlike the freedom of religion or conviction. But it's this liberty that France defends, as well as all other public freedoms, such as freedom of expression or conviction. Daud-Rivière need not have indulged in such verbal gymnastics. The regime that he represents is racist to the core. They are unabashedly anti-Muslim. The rest of Europe is little better, as was evident from the opposition of EU representative. The bloc represents 27 European countries, and while it has permanent observer status at the UN, it does not have voting rights. The EU representative said a focus on Islamophobia was an unnecessary duplication after the UN in 2019 adopted August 22nd as an international day commemorating the victims of acts of violence based on religion or belief. The EU's Islamophobic attitude surfaced when its statement said, "We are concerned with the approach of addressing only one religion through a General Assembly initiative." The EU representative could not be oblivious of the fact that, under the rubric of freedom of expression, vulgar cartoons of the Prophet, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, have been published in several European countries. Such acts are meant to humiliate Muslims. Freedom of expression has limits. No other religion or its revered personalities are subjected to such vulgar attacks.
علم فقه از علوم شریفه اسلامی است.
فقه or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked
The Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of عمل انسان بعد از ایمان.
Self purification is the most significant fact.
امامت یک اصل زنده است در تاریخ اسلام.
امامت is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, welcome to another episode of Ulama's Speech in this holy month of Ramadan. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short speech by Hojjatul Islam Rafi'i. Stay tuned.
Thank you.
ماه مبارک رمضان است، ماه الهی، ماه نزول قرآن.
This is the holy month of Ramadan, a divine month in which holy Quran was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wa sallam. Ramadan is a month full of blessing and mercy. It is a month of spiritual change and growth. Ramadan is the month of return to Allah. It is the month of compensation and repentance. All the movements, deeds, and conducts of this month are different from the other months.
ماهی که به برکت نزول قرآن و به برکت شب قدر.
The month of Ramadan is special since it is blessed with the revelation of the Quran and the nights of Qadr. It is recorded when the month of Ramadan started, the color of the face of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam would change. His deeds like salat, supplication, reciting the Holy Quran, and freeing the slaves were multiplied in the holy month of Ramadan.
چند برابر میشد و مضاعف میشد.
Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Rafi'i. To find out more about this program, log on to our website www.parstoday.com, Call of Islam page. In this holy month of Ramadan, we'll leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
Diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
Wildfires in Greece, Turkey, the United States.
Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails continue to engage in hunger strikes.
Kim Yo-jong, the powerful sister of North Korean leader.
On the news line.
Over a month ago, Russian President Vladimir Putin
announced what he called a special military operation to, quote, demilitarize and denazify Ukraine. The West, which had been warning Russia against such a move, resorted to providing aid to Kiev and decided not to join the war. It, however, used a different type of warfare, the economic one.
We're coming together to reduce Europe's dependence on Russian energy. Putin has issued Russia's energy resources to coerce and manipulate its neighbors.